We're pleased to have on the telephone right now Mark Lambert, and Mark and his crew have created a 45-minute documentary, Warren McKenzie, A Potter's Hands, about the man considered one of the fathers of American pottery. It'll be shown next Friday, June 6th at 5 p.m. at the Grand Marais Art Colony. This event also includes an exhibit of McKenzie's work, which runs through June 29th. And Mark and his crew are also teaching an intro to filmmaking class on June 7th and 8th at the Art Colony. Mark, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Back. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to talk about filmmaking and pottery. And I guess where I'd like to start off with is, you know, I think about filmmaking and pottery is not the first thing I think about. How did you happen to put those things together?
I teach ceramics, and I had met Warren and actually had students go out to his studio, and they just had a wonderful experience there, just seeing him make pots and, you know, as if he was just breathing, and they'd be there, and, you know, their eyes just got big when they saw Warren at the wheel, and he was such a warm and engaging individual that... He's 90 now, and he's still actively making pottery. It's just inspiring to see him work. And when my students were there, I thought, "Man, we've got to capture this. You know, how can we bottle this experience up for future students?" And that's when the idea came to do a film. And so, so here I am. I'm not really a filmmaker, but. I think I was just lucky, and I got the right film crew together.
So you're more of a potter than a filmmaker, actually.
Yeah, probably even more an educator than a potter.
Okay. So. Yeah.
Yes, I love to make pots.
It is pretty amazing that somebody 90 years old is still out there creating and selling and working and totally involved in his craft.
Yeah, exactly. He has slowed down a little bit, but, you know, his slowing down is still, he still produces more pots than many of the other potters, the young potters out there.
Now, most of our listeners will not have heard of Warren McKenzie. Maybe you can give us a little background on who he was, or who he is, excuse me, and what makes him a potter of renown?
So Warren was born in Evanston, Illinois in 1924, and when he went to school, he was going to be a painter, and he served in the war, and when he got back the GI Bill, you know, everybody else was going to school, and so all of the painting classes were full when he returned from service, And so he said, "Hey, well," he saw that there was a pottery class that was open. He said, "Oh, I'll just take that and then get back to painting." And that's when he just became engaged in ceramics. He, from there, went with his first wife to England. They apprenticed from 1949 to 52 with Bernard Leach, you know, an English potter. And then when they returned, they started up a studio in Stillwater, and he's been making pots there ever since. He taught at the U of M shortly after returning from England, and really built a wonderful program there, and influenced many other individuals to be potters or clay artists. You know, he's grown in reputation, and in his work, he makes the work and sells it really inexpensively, affordably, so then people would use it, you know, in their everyday experiences, you know, in their kitchen, in their living room. And he wants that engagement with the you know, between the maker and the user. And since he's kept his work at a minimal price, he recognizes that he has to make a lot of pots to make a living at it. You know, if you're going to sell work for not much, you got to sell a lot of work. And so I think that there's a lot of his work out there. So I think that's partly why he's well known. And I'm sure there are many other things, but that came to into play in terms of his renowned.
I watched the trailer, the little film trailer on your site, and I was impressed, of course, by him, but also by what he said about his hands and just engaging his hands in the work and how important that was to him.
Yeah, and that's what he wants. You know, he wants the user to have that experience on a particular, you know, a certain level. Obviously, they're not the ones making it, but hopefully, they appreciate that. You know, the marks that are left by his hands in the clay.
Mm-hmm. What is it, because you're a potter yourself, what is it about a potter that really distinguishes one from the other as far as appreciating what they do?
You know, it's... I think that, you know, how you distinguish one potter from the other, you become aware of. It's just that everybody has their way of making, and that comes out in the clay, you know, how they touch. You know, somebody that has a delicate touch, that's going to leave a different mark on the pottery, and their work is going to be different. Their approach is going to be different. And so it just naturally happens that everybody's work is different. You know, I give my students the assignment to copy somebody's piece, and when they copy it, it's different. It just happens that way. But one of the neat things, I mean, that's one of the neat things about that here in Minnesota is that there is, Minnesota and the surrounding region, is that there are so many remarkable potters here, and they each have a different look, a different feel.
Now, is some of that having to do with how they glaze their pots or how colorful they make them? Or is
Yeah. So, I mean, not just in the making, there's also the firing process. So Warren fires in a reduction kiln, which is, he fires it with gas, in excessive gas in the atmosphere. And so that changes the color of the clay and the glaze. You know, some people do a low fire oxidation or, you know, high fire. I'm talking, you know, you think about the terracotta pots. You know, so using a different clay will... create a different effect. Randy Johnson is a student of Warren McKenzie's, and he fires a wood kiln. So the heat source is wood. Somebody has to be there, you know, day and night, adding wood to the kiln, to the firebox, to get that heat. And so the vapor and the ash fly through the chamber of the pots, and the ash will land on the shoulder and form a glaze with the silica in the clay. So they're, you know, drastically different marks that are left on the clay through that process.
Now, what I saw for a description for Warren's work was that, as you mentioned, is functional pottery. In other words, it's simple and made to use.
Yes, yeah, made to be used in everyday, you know. One of his, I just enjoy so much the variety of bowls that he makes, and you know, everybody has a use for a bowl. You know, if you don't have a use, you'll figure a use. If you just have it on your dresser, you'll fill it with things.
It looked to me also when I was, and I really don't know, but when he, it's a wheel thrown pottery that, and does that mean that he's, that it's like a treadle? Is that how he's operating that wheel? Or
his wheel is a, yes indeed, it is a treadle. So you remember the old treadle sewing machine that the shaft is offset. So he's constantly kicking the wheel, you know, or the pedal to keep the wheel going. If he stops kicking, the wheel stops, and so that will you know, just from that movement will leave a different look or feel in the pottery.
Well, that'll keep a 90-year-old in shape.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he just recently had you know, a slight injury in his leg, and you know, it wasn't long when he was back at the, you know, it still hurt, and he just got back on the wheel and just got moving, and that worked. It worked its way out. So,
well, I'm so impressed by just his thought process, and I'm going to keep my pots affordable. And it leads to other dimensions as far as how that plays out. And one of those, maybe you could describe the honor system, which you see quite a few potters use. It didn't work as well for Warren.
Yeah, it didn't. You know, he had his showroom was right next to his pottery, and he just left it open. You could go in, and you know, there was just a change bowl. You figure out the right amount. You know, you figure out your tax, and then you leave that amount, or write a check. You know, whatever. It was the honor system. Unfortunately, some individuals took advantage of that. They would take more than the allotted, you know, two pieces per firing, and then they would just turn around and sell that on the internet at an exorbitant amount. So he was disappointed in that. Yeah,
and that's
so.
Because the value of his work is much greater than what he's charging.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know he still has the so now he sells through the galleries, and they have to mark up the prices too. You know, they have their overhead, and so he's caught. You know, he's not able to. He hasn't mm-hmm. been able to figure out how to keep those prices at what they should be. You know, what he wants them.
He even, as I read there, he even quit signing his work for a while.
Yeah, but that backfired on him.
That didn't work.
You got to watch the film. We're giving away the whole story.
Oh, I'm sorry. I better not be doing that because people want to watch that. That's for sure. Now, you mentioned that you're more of a potter than a filmmaker, but you've managed to put together a very talented bunch of people in doing this film.
So, oh my goodness, when I got funding, and incidentally, this project, you know, doing the tour at McRosty Art Center at the Arts Colony of Grand Marais, and also in Ely, we're going to those three sites and showing the film and doing a workshop, you know, same thing as what we're doing at Grand Marais. That is funded through a Minnesota State Arts Board grant. Through the Arts Tour of Minnesota, and so we're very appreciative of the Arts Board and the legacy funds that the people of Minnesota voted for. So the film was created with funding through a legacy like arts, folk, and traditional arts grant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of what keeps our radio some of our radio programming on as well.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, and that you see that Minnesota, the people of Minnesota support the arts, and it's not just visual arts. It's not, you know, it's dance, it's music, it's everything. Kind of to answer your question, you know, so when I did receive funding for the making of the film, I knew that the most important decision was that film crew, you know, who's going to be the film crew. And I came upon David Schnack. Actually, Jeff Stonehouse. I came to Jeff Stonehouse's website and I saw the work that he had done, and I was just amazed. And I thought, oh, this is the person we need. We need him as director of photography. I gave Jeff a call, and he's like, I do international films. I'm like, oh, darn it. But he said, but let me recommend somebody to you. And it was David Schnack. And, David was just so phenomenal. He was just wonderful behind the camera. I remember day one, I would just see what David is capturing on film, and I was, like, you know, dancing around. You know, in my mind, I was trying to be quiet, you know, on set. And, it was just so wonderful to see how poetic, you know, the poetic way at which David captured Warren working at the wheel. And, you know, Warren himself is just it's just so inspiring to see him working. And then the way that David caught it was just phenomenal.
And you're going to be having, as I mentioned, a class, Introduction to Filmmaking, and you're bringing your production crew along. So it's kind of a team effort teaching that class. That's June, let me think, June 6th and 7th?
Yeah, so that's next week. Mm-hmm. So we are excited to be coming up. And, it's really, you think about that workshop, and since we have the whole crew there, you know, it's really for anybody at any level. You know, those who have experience, you know, maybe they have experience filming, they can come and learn about the editing or vice versa. So, you know, it should be titled a storytelling workshop. You know, how to assemble a compelling and touching story in an honest way. You know, everybody has a story to share. You know, there's something in their past that you know, we want to share with those around us. You know, whether it's a family or friends. You know, you think about you know, family. You know, you've got generation to generation, and you want to pass that history on. And this is just a way to record kind of those oral histories, you know, before they're forgotten. So storytelling should be the title of the workshop.
And I believe there's still some room to sign up. 387-2737 is the number at our Grand Marais Art Colony, and that, I assume, is where people should call.
Yes, yeah. So it's through the Grand Marais Art Colony that the workshop takes place. Yeah, they're taking care of all the details. We're just going to show up and share our expertise. So
you're going to have that film on which day?
The film will be shown on Friday. So what is that, right?
Yeah, Friday.
I could be the telling
6th,
you wrong.
Yeah.
You should go to the colony website.
I just saw it now. Friday, June 6th at 5 p.m. That's at the Art Colony. And then the filmmaking class is actually June 7th and 8th. So it's the next day and the following Sunday. And once again, the number is 387-2737. Is there a website that people could go to learn more about your process here?
We don't have a website for this workshop. So we're just relying on each of the separate locations to really, you know, get the word out.
Well, it sure sounds interesting and fun. And Mark, I want to wish you the best on this film and whichever films come next, and also in your first love, which is pottery, and however much you can learn or have learned from Warren McKenzie.
Well, thank you so much, Beck. We sure appreciate your time.